Hello friends, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly. Beginning Sunday, January the 8th at 6 p.m., we'll begin holding evangelistic services at Old Paths Tabernacle. These services are an outreach of the Joey Kelly broadcast. If you like old-fashioned singing and preaching and a revival atmosphere, I'm sure you'll enjoy attending these services. To kick things off, I'll be doing an in-depth, verse-by-verse study of the book of Matthew. You know that I love teaching the types in the Old Testament, but I'm looking forward to studying the fulfillment of those types, which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Paths Tabernacle will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall of Old Metairie Protestant Church, 1301 Metairie Road, here in Metairie, at the corner of Metairie Road and Conifer Boulevard, which is right across from the Shell station. Services are at 6 p.m. Sunday evenings only. I hope to see you there. Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, whereas the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But I guess I could start by saying that I'm glad to be in the house of God. I don't care about this pulpit. I'm glad to be behind it, but I'm glad to be in the house of God regardless. I was a horrible sinner over at LSU, and I could bore you with tales of how good of a sinner I was, I suppose, but I'm glad that November 30th, 1984, at about 1:45 in the afternoon in South Stadium Dormitory number 221 on a Friday, Jesus Christ came into my heart. And this has to do with the message, I suppose. I was hooked on, I guess, several things. Had some wrong ideas in my head. I was hooked on dope. I went to all the bars and chased all the women. Never caught many, but that's a different story. I was actually the guy that could never get a date, but it didn't stop me from trying. But I was messed up in the head, and I was depressed. I was so full of despair, and I've told this elsewhere, so full of despair for, I guess, about 6 or 7 years when I was at high school and then when I got to LSU. I walked around in despair. I walked around with a cloud on over me that was terrible. And you may say, well, I don't believe it. Okay, you're fine. You don't have to believe it. But I know every one of you has been in a swimming pool. And as you know, there's a shallow end and there's a deeper end. And obviously, you know, we like to be in the deep end. But in the shallow end, if you're playing around, you're playing throw the ball or frisbee or something, a bunch of guys, and you're trying to catch the other guy or something like that. And you try and run. And you know, in three foot of water, you can't run. You try, but you don't go very fast. The water retards you. You're going to think I'm crazy. I don't care. It felt like I was in a swimming pool. And I was struggling to walk to class, and it was hard to move my legs. And I don't understand it. I don't. But it occurred to me that that's what it felt like. I understand that we believe in God. I understand that there are devils also, and I don't really want to get too into that all that much. And anyhow, I want to focus on Jesus and not where I came from. But I'm trying to get across that and I'm not doing it well, but trying to get across that I had it hard. I had it tough. Maybe I was a lightweight. Maybe there were people that had it worse off than I did. But I know and knew what it was like to not have the Lord. And I shared my testimony other places as well, that when I got saved, it was a life-changing darkness to light experience. It was sort of like the road to Damascus experience, actually. I knew I was saved. I knew that something had happened to me. I knew instantly that I was delivered from drugs. I knew instantly. I said yes to the Lord. I'll serve you, etc. And I remember turning around and I had a vision of Christ on the cross. And I knew one thing. I knew He died for me. And I turned around again and I realized, I'm free of drugs. I don't have to smoke that stuff. It used to be when I went to Fred's house, he pulled out the tray from underneath the sofa and something in me said, I have to have that. I'm sorry to say, but I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm free. I knew I didn't have to go to the bars. I knew that I didn't have to drink anymore. I was free. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1, and then chapter 3, and then chapter 12. And we basically know the story of this, so as I read it, you'll say, oh, I remember. There's a lot here. I simply can't read 12 chapters, or 15 chapters, actually. But it says in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them in their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. If you would, please flip to chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And as you're turning to chapter 12, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I need your help today. I need your help to preach this message. I believe that you've given it to me. I believe you've shown me what verses to read, what direction to go. But I cannot preach without you. And Lord, for the people, I ask that you would open their hearts, open the eyes of their understanding, Paul prayed, enlighten the eyes of their understanding. And I want that Jesus would be glorified. And I want that people would look to Him and be spurned in their heart to follow Him in a greater way. And if that happens, then I know that God will be glorified. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We all know this story. We've all seen this on TV. The movie, The Ten Commandments, and what have you. We've all seen this. We've all heard this. We've seen it taught. We've heard it taught in Sunday school, etc. In seeking God for my radio broadcasts, and I've been on just shy of 5 years in New Orleans. And before that I was on, several years before that I was on for 2.5 years in New Orleans and also Baton Rouge. I was on WLUX, and I don't think I was on WJFM, but it'll tell you how long ago it was, WLUX in the 80s. And I'm happy to serve God in any way that He would have me to minister. I've also been to Haiti 5 times, made 5 trips, preaching. Happy to say that we go to preach. There's a lot of work in Haiti, and they need a lot of help. There's no question. But yes, they need, with the earthquake, they need help rebuilding and recovering and read this and read that. I understand. But there's a number of ministries that they have other messages. Now, when I was down in Honduras, I went for a week in 1989, I think, or something. I went with a construction crew and we built a church. It replaced a mud hut, literally a mud hut. A lattice work of sticks and then mud daubed on. It was a mud hut. It had served that church for 3 years and it had started to fall down. And we built them one with cinder blocks and a real roof and etc. And I'm happy to do that. I've helped the ministers that I preach with and what have you. I've helped them and I've given money and supplies and whatever. They've taken it down to Haiti to help with recovery. I have no problem doing physical things. I have no problem doing medical missions. I have no problem with quite a number of things. The people need help. But I have a problem with the social gospel. I have a problem with bad politics. I have a problem with psychology. I felt led, as I said, for I guess about 6 months to maybe a year, that the next thing I should teach on the radio was about deliverance. How Jesus delivers. I just testified a bit ago how God delivered me from drugs. Delivered me from a number of things. So I know in my own life that God delivers. And I want you to know in your own life, God can deliver you.
Amen.
You got a problem with smoking or stealing or who knows what. Whatever problem that a person might have. Jesus can deliver you. He can deliver your kids. He can deliver your nephew. He can deliver. And the Lord had led me, I believe, to start in 2 Kings, first chapter, first verse, and see how far I could get. And if you read those chapters, and I think currently I'm in chapter 5 or so, you see that God delivered time and time and time again. So we find the witness in my life. Maybe there are testimonies in this church, in the chapters that I'm studying, that God delivers. We understand in the Gospels, everywhere Jesus went, He healed the sick. He cast out devils. He recovered the sight of the blind. Maybe they didn't have drugs. Maybe they didn't have things back then, but they have drunkenness. So Jesus delivers. And I love teaching the Old Testament. I love looking for the types. And I'm sure pastors explain to you what a type is. Something in the Old Testament that foreshadows the New. The greatest type of the Old Testament is this message today. It talks about the Lamb of God, which we're getting to in chapter 12. That a lamb for a house. These Jews were told by God through Moses to take a lamb for a house, and to kill the lamb. to take its blood, catch it in a basin, and put it on the doorpost. And in the top part, it's called the lintel. And then at midnight, when the death angel came, well, this is kind of bad, you know, this is not a shouting sermon, I guess, but when the death angel came at midnight, and we'll go over this, God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When God sees the blood of Jesus Christ as you've accepted him into your heart, then you're passed from death to life. You understand that this lamb, 2,500, 3,000 years ago, however long ago it was, foreshadowed what happened 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Because John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, pointing at Jesus Christ. And we know that he died in our place. This little lamb that set the Jews free of Egyptian bondage, that lamb died in their place. The lamb died, but God's people, the Jews, went out of Egypt. Deliverance. Again, I want to say that you don't need psychology. You don't need social work. You don't need programs in the church. You don't need this and that. You don't need a 12-step program. They've even got that in church these days. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ delivers. You don't need to attend a meeting every night. Maybe you need to attend a prayer meeting every night. Stick your nose in this book every night. But Jesus delivers from sin. And he delivers from the consequence of sin. And if there's demon activity, which occasionally there is, he'll set you free. Now, there are some, and I'm on the radio probably next week, I'll deal with it more, but there are some that take the study of demons or demonology way too far. The Bible, occasionally, you find that Jesus casts the devil out of the sky or what have you. King Saul was full of the devil, I understand that. But you don't find a lot of activity focusing on demon ministry. But you find an awful lot of people focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him. Look to God. Don't major on the devil. Major on the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this chapter, chapter 12, and again, I said that God will deliver you. But we need to understand that there was an awesome price paid for the things of God, for the blessings of God. We get here and we sing the praises of God, and at times the Spirit of God fills the sanctuary. And we're all with our hands in the air, maybe tears streaming down our eyes, and we understand that God is visiting us. And that's wonderful. That is truly wonderful. But to get to that point, we had to pass through another point. We had to go by way of the old rugged cross. Amen. We need to understand that every blessing that we have in the church is because Jesus hung and died on Calvary. Amen. And your deliverance, whatever you need, he says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. He says that we should come to him for everything. There's nothing too hard for him, etc. But it all comes through the cross. There are some preachers in some denominations, they don't want the cross. They do other things. They may have a lot of people, but those people are still bound. But in verse 5 of chapter 12, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or out from the goats. We know that Jesus was without spot and without blemish. He never committed a sin. Amen. Never did anything wrong, never had a discouraging word. He was perfect. He did everything right. He obeyed the law of Moses to a T. Now, he didn't much care for the additional stuff that the Pharisees and what have you added. He didn't follow that at all. Jesus was not religious. Strange words. Don't understand you, preacher. Well, religion is man's attempt to reach God. But you see, the Bible isn't about man's attempt to reach God. It's about God's attempt to come down here and reach man. It's a difference of perspective. Religion says that, well, there's so many religious churches, they do so many religious things, and people, they lose sight of the forest because all they see is the few trees around them. Us four and no more, you mentioned that, but our little denomination and the other guys down the road, we don't know nothing about them. It's not about religion. It's not about what we do and the way that we take up the offering and if Sister So-and-so sings and if Brother Deacon prays. It's not about any of that. We can get in a rut, a spiritual rut, by getting into a mode of thinking that, well, if they did, he was out of order. He should have waited to do that. No, it's not about any of our a way of arranging the service. It's not about any of that. It's that we preach Jesus Christ and we sing about Jesus Christ and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ at the altar, believing that He will deliver. It's not about anything, the color of the pews. It doesn't, none of that stuff matters. Amen. What matters is the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary 2,000 years ago. In one point it says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Then as the other preacher said, I cannot in polite company tell you what that means, but you have Strong's Concordance, you can look it up. In other words, God ain't pleased with what you do trying to be good and to be right. You can try and try and try to be good and right and make God happy and all of that stuff, and He says, I don't care. I won't even look in your direction. The only thing that gets God's attention is when you say, Lord, I remember what Jesus did for me. Man, I sound like a broken record. Well, hallelujah, it's the only way to get to heaven. But your lamp shall be without blemish. And in verse 6, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Each house had a lamb, and each house took that lamb and slit its throat, and had some kind of bowl or basin, and caught the blood as it splashed out or whatever, and they caught that. And it says, verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now this, you may say it's gruesome. Man, it is gruesome. They took a lamb, an innocent little lamb, a year-old lamb, they slit its throat. What did he do? He didn't deserve that, but that's what the Bible says that they did. They caught its blood, they smeared it on part of the house, the door frame. And it says then that they were supposed to roast it with fire in the next verse and eat it. Kind of cruel. Those Christians, those bloody Christians, and they eat blood and drink blood. Well, I understand all of those objections that others might say, but the only way, again, that the children of Israel went free was the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. You remember that Moses said, as God told him, Pharaoh, let my people go, and here's some frogs, and here's some lice, and here's some this and that, and then hail, and all of that stuff. Plague after plague after plague after plague. There were 9 plagues, and not one of the 9 plagues made a difference. Okay, take the frogs away. Moses said, well, how long do you want to keep them? Well, one more night. Strange. One more night with the frogs. That's a sermon right there.
Yes, indeed.
And he says, okay, I'll let you go. And the next day he said, no, I won't. His heart was still hard. 9 times God sent some sort of plague, some destruction. The water, the Nile turned into blood. And each of these plagues, there were 10 of them. The 9 didn't do anything. The 10th, the death angel at midnight. Each one of these plagues were a judgment against the different gods of Egypt.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Hello friends, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly. Beginning Sunday, January the 8th at 6 p.m., we'll begin holding evangelistic services at Old Paths Tabernacle. These services are an outreach of the Joey Kelly Broadcast. If you like old-fashioned singing and preaching and a revival atmosphere, I'm sure you'll enjoy attending these services. To kick things off, I'll be doing an in-depth, verse-by-verse study of the book of Matthew. You know that I love teaching the types in the Old Testament, but I'm looking forward to studying the fulfillment of those types, which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Paths Tabernacle will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall of Old Metairie Protestant Church, 1301 Metairie Road, here in Metairie, at the corner of Metairie Road and Codifer Boulevard, which is right across from the Shell station. Services are at 6 p.m. Sunday evenings only. I hope to see you there.